and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. We talk about the Astros, and they're going to face the division rival in the ALDS, the A's. So we're going to talk a lot about that. We're going to talk about what happened in versus White Sox. I thought we're going to be facing White Sox. I thought we're going to be the home team. Everything was in the cards, and I thought that it would be a good matchup versus White Sox. But unfortunately, it just didn't work out. And I'm all joined, as always, by my co-host, Brett Chansey. Where can they find you on Twitter?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Strohs411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Strohs. Now, Eric, to let you know, I did put a poll out there for our fans, and they actually wanted to face, 45% of them wanted to face the Oakland Athletics. So I was like, hey, you get what you asked for.
Yeah, and I don't see that. I think the A's have really had the Astros cards this year, and I didn't want that matchup. I thought that it would be better to face somebody that we haven't really seen that much this year, even though the White Sox had a lot of talent, but Eloy Jimenez left the game today, and I think somebody else is hurt. I forgot one of their young stars, but Luis Robert, or however you say his name, I'm so glad that the Astros don't have to face them. But you can listen to the Locked On Astros podcast every day, normally on Spotify. I understand that we had a little issues with Spotify, but normally on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or just wherever you listen to your podcast, listen to Locked On Astros podcast. And we're going to talk about the playoffs all postseason, I guess. Let's just go ahead and say postseason. And hopefully it's a World Series win for the Houston Astros. So today we did find out something that we were kind of talking about in last night's podcast. Who are the Astros going to face? And now we know that they're going to face the A's. This is a devil we know. This is a team that we faced a lot. And the A's, I thought, made a questionable decision by starting Mike Fiers. I mean, there's Sean Manea, even Frankie Montas. I know you didn't have the best year, but why would you go with somebody like Mike Fiers? 3 years ago, the Astros didn't even have him on the playoff roster. And then the past 2 years, he didn't really play. Why are you going to go ahead and pitch him in a winner-take-all type of game in this wild card round? But it ended up, I mean, he didn't help, but the A's, I think, what's the word you used earlier? They battled it out, and they beat the White Sox. And the White Sox are probably the better team, but unfortunately, I think they're still just too young, like the Padres may end up being.
That's right. So the Oakland A's, we know they have a history of being a scrappy team. We also know that in the playoffs, they have a tendency to fall off and basically not perform as such. And they came in against the White Sox, and they actually got the job done. In spite of Fiers only going like 1 2/3 innings and giving up a monster home run to Luis Robert, you know, he was
I got a little happy with that. I have to admit, I have to get a little happy with that, the distance that went. And I saw them
487 feet.
Yeah, that was a bomb.
Yeah, so he just absolutely crushed that ball. And, you know, here's the thing. I know the A's pretty much had our number this year. I know the Astros basically this is the Astros went 1-7 against Oakland in Oakland. And they swept them in Houston in the only games at Minute Maid Park. But the Astros pitchers, get this, Eric, held the A's to 3.87 runs per game. Oakland scored three or fewer runs in six of those 10 games. And so the close games is what the Astros weren't winning in the regular season. And I know the score was 3-1 in Minnesota and 4-1. But that's still a pretty close game.
Right.
And so we know that the Astros have been snake bit because five of the Astros' seven losses were by two or fewer runs. So I think the Astros got a shot in the arm. And I saw Michael Schaub actually tweeted this out. Apparently he's got some inside source with the Astros. And they said from someone with the Astros that the guys in the clubhouse were absolutely elated. And they were like, this feels so effing good to get this done.
Or
no, to win series. Because did you see the montage of all the sports writers, even Richard Justice, who picked Minnesota? Like, nobody. Zero. I think we were the only two people that picked the Astros to win.
And I even said it was going to be a tough series. I said it's probably going to go three games, and the Twins are going to battle, and it's going to be high offensive. But the Astros built with what their strength was. And even Dusty Baker said, I went against what I normally do. I went with the starters, and I went with my best pitchers instead of bullpen. And so Dusty Baker even was able to adjust in the series, and I think that that's what they needed. And we know that the 2017 Astros, their strength was not the bullpen. And the 2020 Astros, their strength is not the bullpen. Blake Taylor didn't even pitch in that game, in that series. And who else? Josh James didn't pitch in that series. Right. So there's a lot of the Astros' top arms that did not they were not used. But in this situation, it's going to be a different story. And so the Astros and A's played 10 times this season, this is according to Chandler Rome. The Astros went 3-7. Their three wins were only in the seven innings games. So that's that's kind of something to think about. The Astros' offense in 333 play appearances versus A's was .205 batting average with a .259 OPS, a .325 slugging percentage. That basically says what's going on. But you're talking about the Astros pitching. And the Astros pitching in 81.1 third innings pitch was a 3.87 ERA, 1.34 WHIP, a .755 OPS. That's not terrible. That's not terrible. I mean, OPS is a little bit high, but the pitching did the thing. It just seemed like the offense just kind of did a Mike Fiers in the series, I mean, versus the A's.
Well, you know, and I honestly, I really hope that we get to face Mike Fiers in the playoffs.
In a five-game series, we are. And that's basically a given.
I mean, unless we sweep them in the first three games, you know.
Yeah, that's true. And in that case, the A's have been basically hiding Mike Fiers from the Astros all year. And they can say whatever they want, but they've been manipulating this rotation so he didn't have to face the Astros. They can't do it anymore. This is the playoffs. It's a five-game series, and you're going to have to pitch them. So you're talking about on Twitter about Lance McCullers starting game one. Are you for real about that, or is that just something that you have a hunch about?
I kind of have a hunch. I kind of have a source.
Are we talking about a fan source or like
no
quotation fan source?
they're in the media world. I won't say who it is, but I'll just say this:
Mike Sanna.
They're not on TV. No, they're not on TV. they are on radio. That's all I'll say.
Robert Ford.
But it sounds I'm not going to tell you. No, I'm not going to tell you. But basically, I really believe that is coming from a reliable end. But I don't know. I'm reaching out to two other people to find out if they know. I'm trying to find out before like the world finds out. So I'm trying to be like one of these exclusive guys. You know me, I'm like a wannabe media guy. I'm the guy that's like, hey, where's my media badge?
Hey, ask Chandler Rome about the Justin Verlander tweet and see how he feels right now.
Oh yeah, no, for real. Exactly. Well, you know, here's the deal. Guys like Josh Reddick in this series may have some key hits. You know, he's got a history with being an Oakland A. He scraps it out, and Brian McTaggart apparently interviewed him, and they talked to the media, and this is what he said. He said, we have to grind it out and get our butts in gear. Playing a team in our division is going to give you an upper hand, recognizing and knowing how certain guys, bullpen guys, are going to pitch you and starters because they've faced you before. And then I retweeted out Mr. Hendricks from the Oakland A's, and this is what he says. For us, it doesn't really matter who we play, obviously. And this was Friday. As a vindictive kind of thing, we want to take out the Houston Astros. But I don't care who we play. As long as we beat them, that's our biggest goal. And then I put under that, they want all the smoke. And then I tag Correa in that tweet. That's fine. I mean, I don't know what they're being vindictive about. Maybe they're still upset about 2017 like Dave Roberts is. I mean, I don't know. I just, to me at this point, Eric, the anger in the outrage is old. Like, it's not even entertainable to me.
It's not cute. No, it's not attractive. It's not endearing.
Like, I got it. You know, honestly, I got it when it first came out. And I know, I understand the A's perspective. They're like, hey, we told MLB about this and they didn't look into it. So I get all that, but it's like, cry me a freaking river. It's like this Red Sox fan came after me when I retweeted, what's her name? Something Knight, Molly Knight.
Molly Knight, yes.
Oh yeah. She was talking about the Astros and
Dodgers homer. She'll never admit it. Dodgers homer.
Well, she basically said that the Astros cheated a bunch of low-level employees out of bonuses. And I was like, wait, hold on. Well, the Red Sox did that too. And then why aren't you mad at the Dodgers for losing all the series? I mean, have you seen all the playoff series they've lost since like 2013 or something like that? They've lost all these series. I'm like, they lost in the ALDS in 2019. And why aren't you mad at them? They cheated them out because they failed to even get to the World Series the third year in a row. So cry me a freaking river. So all this fake outrage that y'all have, if y'all listen to this and you're like, if you're an opposing fan, that's great. Cheer for your team. But really, stop bitching about the Astros in 2017. It doesn't make any sense. We're past that. We are here and we are here to stay. And the Astros have a chance to stun the world. And I hope that we beat the Oakland A's. You know, I don't care if it goes all five games. I would love for it to be a sweep. That would be so freaking amazing. I don't even care about facing Mike Fires. Let him go back to TikToking with people he shouldn't be TikToking with. That's all I got to say about that.
Okay, speaking of TikToking with somebody that you shouldn't be TikToking with, I'm looking at MLB.com, and I'm looking at the schedule of the playoffs. And the Astros are supposed to play on Monday, October 5th. So right. I'm looking at it. It says AL Division Series. A, Game 1, San Diego, Tampa Bay versus New York Yankees on TBS. ALD Division Series, B game, Los Angeles, Oakland versus Houston, TBS. Mm-hmm. So, does that mean that the Yankees are going to have the early game, or is this just
I don't know.
A and B, I mean, typically A comes first in the alphabet, right?
Well, if,
or is that just the – or am I thinking of real logic and not the East Coast bias?
You know, here's the deal. You wouldn't – if you had the game early, it would be an early evening game for the East Coast. So it would probably make more sense to put the Yankees like a 3 o'clock game. It would be 5 o'clock New York time or what, like 6 o'clock New York time? What are they, 3 hours? Anyways.
As if.
I mean – yeah, so sorry, I don't know my time zones off the top of my head.
That's fine.
But golly, that's terrible. Anyways, I would think that the Astros, if there was a late game, the Astros would get the late game.
I literally want them to stick to this. I want them to show, like, for once, put the Astros in a primetime game. This is a division rival. I mean, granted, I know the Yankees and the Rays are division rivals as well, but for once, don't have the Yankees in primetime. Give the Astros a chance to shine. But at the same time, then the Astros have always been the underdog, and I don't want them to change that. So give them the early one. Just don't make it a noon start. That's too hard for us teachers right out there.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I think it comes down to this. It comes down to the Astros hitters. I think our pitchers are going to do enough. I think our pitchers actually did enough against the A's in most of those games when you read about how many runs that they held them to compared to how many runs they can score. But do you know what the Astros' all-time record is against Oakland right now going into this series?
No.
It's 74-75. We have lost one more game to them than they have to us. So this team has played that team as evenly as anybody can play them. And if there is an unpredictable series in the division series rounds, I think this one is too hard to predict. I obviously believe that the Astros can pull it out. I think they pull it out in four games, not in three, not in five.
Right.
But
there's a lot of – no.
Yeah, there's a lot of buts.
Yeah.
There are.
And I'm not just talking about Mike Fiers, because
Yeah. The rat king. That's what we're going to call. We're going to call Fiers the rat king.
Okay. So I'm looking at Twitter right now, and I don't understand this tweet. This is from Tyler Kepner. I don't know who he is, but he says, got to agree with the ESPN broadcasters on this one. Nobody forced the players to be mic'd up during this game. They asked Ramon Laureano, and he said, okay. Fans always seem to want more access, so if the players agree to it, what's the harm? Again, that's their choice. Did he make an error or something? Is that why they're making a big deal about this or something? Or did he say something or whatever? But
okay.
Speaking of unknown, what if you don't know what your next like lunch or brunch or whatever you want, and you're just like hungry and you're like Mike Fiers, you're like, oh, I only pitched 1 2/3 innings today, and I gave up this big blast. I really want something to kind of give me a boost of self-esteem. What could they eat?
Well, that was the most odd transition into this. Well, Mike Fiers, even Mike Fiers can have a Built Bar. Okay, here's the thing. Built Bar is not just a protein bar. It's basically like a candy bar, but it's good for you. It's wrapped in 100% chocolate, and it's good for you. They even make flavors that you may not even like in real life, and you'll love it.
Like I've Ratatouille? I've said this
before. Like Ratatouille. Let me tell you. See, I don't even know where this is going. Basically, what you need to do is you need to go to builtbar.com. And you need to get a box like right now. If you use the code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your first order. And while supplies last, they give you this little cooler pouch. It's really cool. We actually put ours in the fridge. Today I had a cookies and cream for my snack, and it is the perfect snack because it's not too much. It's not like where you eat something and you're not sat. Like you're totally satisified with it. And whether like you're on a keto diet. Like, even if you go 1 2/3 innings and give up a bomb to Luis Robert, you can have a Built Bar to make you feel better. Even when the Astros beat your team in the second round of the playoffs and you get shelled by the Astros, you can eat a Built Bar. And even when Hendricks is raging in the clubhouse after the Astros beat him, he can also eat a Built Bar. So go to BuiltBar.com. Use a promo code Locked On for $10 off your next order. That's BuiltBar.com, the best tasting bar on the planet, hands down.
All right, so the A's ended up winning that series. I honestly did not see that happening. I really thought that, especially after the White Sox got off to early lead. But at the same time, they let their rookie sensation, Dunning, kind of only pitch 2/3 innings, and then they went to the bullpen. And I thought that the White Sox would kind of learn, take a lesson from the Twins. The Twins went to the bullpen too much. The Astros... they knew it was a short series. Use your best pitchers. And Jake Odorizzi, did he even pitch in the Astros Twin Series?
I never saw him.
I know he warmed up, but he was one of the guys that they counted on in for not just this year, but the past few years. Why didn't you bring him in? Why didn't you do the whole Framber Valdez or the Christian Javier? And so I know that the Twins fans out there are like, Why us? 18 straight losses in the playoffs. But I think that Dusty Baker, for all the crap he's gotten, he played that series exactly right. Now, what happens in next series? That's a whole different ball game. It's all up to for grabs. But I think Dusty Baker played it perfectly, and Christian Javier and Framber Valdez, they really legitimately should have the co MVPs of that series, because I know they don't do that in the wild card round, but where would the Astros be if they had name me a Astros reliever? What's his name? The guy with the big beard. I can't think of his name. What's his name? I've had a long.
The guy with the big beard.
Sy Snead. What if you had Sy Snead in there? What if you had? I know Joe Biagini was released, but what if you had Joe Biagini in there? And so I think that by not exposing the Twins to the Astros' biggest weakness, that was Dusty Baker's biggest success in that series.
No, yeah, I mean we've been critical of Dusty Baker. Of course, you know, we always lace our criticism with, you know, I don't know, like, I feel like sometimes people in media, and I don't even know if I consider myself a media, I'm just a guy that does podcasts, but I think there's a lot of people in media that maybe it's their job to be critical, but they criticize in a way almost like they like how could you have done that? Like, I would have done so much better, or I would have done it differently. I just say this, like, that to me was a big defining moment. I wouldn't say crowning achievement, but a defining moment for the Astros, for Dusty Baker, because like you mentioned, he did something he doesn't normally do, and he recognized that. So that opens the door to continue to do more un-Dusty Baker-like moves in this series. And if he sticks to his guns, I think Brent Strom needs to be in his ear constantly saying, don't pull this guy, keep him in, don't pull him, don't let him go much longer type thing, then the Astros will have success in the series.
I think I know as much as we criticized A.J. Hinch for pulling Greinke in Game 7 of the World Series, I think that he pulled Greinke at the right time. I think he pulled Jose Urquidy at the right time. Now, Breeding and Brooks Raley, that was a little questionable, especially with Nelson Cruz coming up. But at the same time, it all worked out. And
you're not going to be right every time. Well, where we criticize him about analytics and like statistics and all that stuff, all the stats, all the analytics.
Yeah, come on, StatCast. Yes.
Well, no, listen, all the information and intel told him that Brooks Raley was the right person for that right. position. You know what I'm sitting here watching, what keeps playing over and over, is this video of Castellanos hitting Liriano. And I was like, wouldn't it be kind of funny? I mean, I'm not for hitting players, but it would be kind of hilarious if a curveball slipped out of the hand of like McCullers and hit Liriano. That would be, I mean, that would send shockwaves.
Is Brandon Bailey not available? Because I think Brandon Bailey would be perfect. I mean, this would be part two, or
that's true.
Part deuce.
Well, we could have Bailey come in like the eighth inning when they're up 9-2. And
Brandon Bailey, you've been on this podcast. I really appreciate everything you've done, and props to you for everything you went through this year, but not in a playoff roster, not this year, next year, maybe. But
well, right. I mean, some guys just aren't ready though. And I mean, the Astros have plenty of players that have the talent, that have the ability. Brandon Bailey definitely showed a lot when he came up, and I thought he did good. You know, for the time being, you know, Brandon Belak started out really good, but he just has kind of fallen apart.
The league adjusts to you, and you have to
readjust to the league. Right. You have to readjust, and you have to be mentally strong. And you know how we've talked about this, Framber Valdez having this psychiatrist that's helped him work through. When my son and I, when we were at Round Rock, and Framber Valdez was at Round Rock, he had been sit back down. And he was pitching. I think Correa was still there. Correa actually struck out that game. And I think he walked. And I think he got a hit that game. But Framber Valdez was pitching. And he walked like four or five batters in that game. And I remember looking at my son going. And then there was, we were actually talking to Jackson Ryan. Nolan Ryan's grandson was in there, you know, chatting with us in the press box. And I looked at Jackson. I said, something's not right with Framber Valdez. Like, he doesn't look confident. He looks like he's like consumed with worry or like something's going on. He goes, yeah, he goes, he's typically a lot better than that. And that was something that he was apparently working through for quite a while. And right. finally he found it, you know, and I think it's great. I'm looking forward to Framber Valdez doing something big in this series.
I think he just needed Built Bar. I think that's all he needed. He just needed to take the dive and get a Built Bar, and he would
be fine. We have two live reads.
No. All right, so this is going to be an interesting series. These are the, like I said yesterday, this is would you rather face the guys you've never seen, you haven't seen this year, or the devil you know? And I know that Brian McTaggart did a poll on Twitter. I'm sure it got a few more votes than the one you did. But they mostly said they want to face the White Sox. Why? Because the A's have really played the Astros well this year. I know in the past it has not been the same thing. But I think that the Astros and the A's are probably a good match for each other.
Yeah, so hopefully Brian McTaggart's poll would have more than mine. He has like 65,000 followers. I mean, I have almost 1,400 followers, but his polls better be getting more run than mine. If not, then like no one's listening to him. They just follow him. But yeah, I mean, McTaggart's a veteran. He's like one of the lead guys in the city. And I mean, I understand wanting the White Sox, you know, especially with them losing to the A's. It's like, yeah, it would have been nice for the White Sox to pull that out, because we would have faced Dallas Keuchel. Dad burn it, that messed up my second round prediction. My second round prediction was to play Dallas Keuchel, and I wanted the stars to align, and I wanted destiny, and I wanted it to be all about a fairy tale ending.
It's okay.
And I won't get that.
You'll get over it.
That. I'm pissed. That's why I didn't want to play the A's. Not because like I want to play the A's, but
you
I
will survive. Woohoo!
Oh, we face Mike Fiers, who's on the 2017 team. Used pine tar to throw his no hitter.
But he was not on the 2017.
But he cheated. But he cheated to get his no hitter. Oh hey, what did you do with that plaque you have of Mike Fiers with the dirt and stuff? Did you destroy it?
I don't know. I had to move out of the house, and I think it got packed.
Did you hang it above the toilet?
No, I've not hung it up. I think it's somewhere. And I moved to an apartment, and I have so much Astro stuff that even my outfield wall is still in the garage, because I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be here for too long. I don't want to put it up and put holes in the wall. But I think I'm eventually going to put my outfield wall. I still have my Astrodome seats in the garage. So, but, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I wanted to throw it away, but it is part of history. And even
throw it away. I mean, you wanted to sell it to me. I mean, I'm not going to buy it from you, but I'll take it off your hands.
No. I'm not talking about the Astrodome seats. I'm talking about the Mike Fiers
thing. No, I'm talking about the I was talking.
No,
about
I never wall. Offered you Mike Fiers thing. I would never do that to anybody.
No, you offered me the wall.
I offer you the seats. And
no, you offered me. You said, would I buy the wall? I remember you asking me.
Yada yada. Would I pay for it? Doesn't matter.
Well, I think I'm using telepathy. I'm doing Jedi mind tricks. You will sell the wall to me, or you will give me the wall. There you go.
Okay, now for the price you want.
Give me a wall. Give me a wall, Eric. All I want is the wall. That's all I want.
Okay, let's not bring up the debate here. Okay.
I didn't say anything. I just said give me the wall. That's all I said.
It's in your best Donald Trump. Wall. All right, and hey, here's how we digress. All right, definitely we're going to have to look more into the matchups, and we'll have to look into the playoff history, because I know – have the Astros faced the A's in the recent history in the playoffs?
No, because the A's are always the wild card, and they're one and done.
Yeah, I know. And so
I mean, no.
So
but
this
apparently, Fernando Tatis – just crushed another home run and did a like epic bat flip. And it's like, everybody's like going nuts over it. I mean, he flipped the bat. Like, dude, I'm surprised the Cardinals didn't like jump out of their skin when he did it. That was awesome. So anyways.
All right. So that would just, yeah. I mean, I'm not a big Padres fan, but I would hate for them to just go out in 2-1. I mean, 2-0.
I would love for the Padres to beat the Dodgers. I would love for the Padres and the Dodgers to play. I don't know if they would meet in the title game or the next round.
Can you tell me what the Cardinals did last year in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. They
remember how they basically almost got no hit by 3 Nationals pitchers? I think that was an NLCS, and I don't trust the Cardinals. And Paul Goldsmith is one of my favorite non-Astros hitters, but the Cardinals don't have enough. The Padres.
It is 9-8 right now. Padres 9-8.
So
it's crazy.
I'm kind of glad that I'll go to game 3, and I think that it's actually better when these series go three games, because look at the Astros situation. They're not going to have, like, a lot of their pitchers didn't pitch in this series, and they're going to be, like, basically twiddling their thumbs for a few days, and that could have an effect on how they perform versus the A's. So they're not going to play till Monday. So today is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So they're basically,
you know, the days of the week, Eric. Good job.
Yay. I know what 2 + 2 is too. It's 5. So anyway, so I think that this is just a weird dynamic. You don't give them any days off during the series, but then you give them 3 or 4 days off between series. And
right,
it's just kind of weird how I know you have to do the traveling and everything's a little bit different in the age of the coronavirus, but I think that the Astros are the villain. I think they're going to go into Oakland or not. Sorry, rewind. They're going to go into Dodger Stadium. They're going to be the road team again, like they were in the 2017 World Series. And I think they're going to do the exact same thing. This is just going to be a recycle, just a different team, different format. But I think the Astros have got their mojo back. It's like Austin Powers. So, like, why would you really throw a shoe at me? I guess losing the last three games of the season, I think, is basically exactly the equivalent of that. And I think the Astros, like, you know what? We're here. Why not go for it? And I think
why not us?
Yeah. Right. George Springer and everybody, Michael Brantley, are like, you know what? This could be our last chance. I mean, especially if George Springer goes to the Red Sox. I mean, when are they ever going to win again?
I just threw up on my mouth a little bit. I could not stand him in a Red Sox uniform. I know. I mean, I couldn't see that. So when you said the age of the coronavirus, I was going to be like, is that like the age of Aquarius? Sorry. I don't know what made me think of the age of Aquarius, that song. Oh, by the way, the total random thing. My son's taken this marine science. It's like a new subject. It's like a new class at his school, at his intermediate school. And this kid knows more about the ocean than I think Jacques Cousteau. He's discovering so much stuff. And I'm
that's
like, hey,
water. It's wet.
Well, no, it's right. So
that's sand.
Exactly.
It gets wet.
Well, no, this is the thing. The other day when I was watching the game, well, no, listen, the other day when I was watching the game, I was like, hey, Sammy, the Astros, you know, are in the playoffs. When they play next week, they'll be on. Do you want to watch? And he's like, no, I'll probably have marine science. I'll probably learn about like jellyfish and stuff. I'm like, you'd rather know about jellyfish and watch the Astros? I mean, this kid's totally enamored by this class. So, go whoever that teacher is, that's teaching him aquatic science. Maybe he'll be like a marine biologist and take us deep sea fishing one day or something. I don't know.
My son still thinks he's going to be a digging up dinosaurs. And so,
Oh, really? Archaeologist,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Archaeologist. Nice. And I'm like, dude, you don't like to be outside.
Hey, you know what? I dig that.
There you go. Yeah. Dad joke. Like, I threw one of those out at class today. And everybody looked at me like, what? And I'm like, okay, never mind.
Well, hey, we may, and I don't know, but hopefully here pretty soon, we may have someone here or there joining us on the show. We're gonna try to get some other people in the mix with us since we're in the playoffs. So I'm looking forward to some of those things.
I would say I'm gonna reach out to the Locked On A's host, but that may be something that may not work. But I don't know. We'll have to see.
Well, they have a new host, right? I mean,
I know. I think they're both. I think. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the situation, but I know that the other one's still involved, and he's still
okay.
I
know.
We'll have to see.
You and Jason Burke are friends. No, I honestly thought Burke left Locked On A's, and someone else came in and was the Locked On A's guy. I don't really know.
I'll reach out to him. But I think that we do need to do a preview series, and we'll have to maybe have let's say we'll have Sully come on just to be kind of the the mediator or something like that. But I think that this will be a good series, and I think the Astros will do what it takes to end up on top. I think that they – I think that after they beat a team – like, they're the – second or first, however you want to think about it, the first team in playoff history with a 500 record to make the playoffs. So this is something that is eating on them. And they, I think when they have their backs against the wall, I think that's when the Astros tend to do best. I mean, in 2017, they were the underdogs. In 2018, 2019, they weren't the underdogs. I mean, I know. I mean, most people thought they would go win, especially with Gerrit Cole in the rotation. And then what happened in the World Series in 2019? Yeah, they
went. Eric, stop. No. But, we don't talk about that.
Astros are the underdogs, and I think that's when they exceed. When people have confidence in the Astros, that's when they kind of tend to fall apart. And I think that the Astros, after seeing what I saw versus the Twins, which is a great team with a great rotation, a decent bullpen, the Astros took care of business. And I think that they're going to beat the A's. I think they have what it takes to beat the Yankees, but the Yankees do have more power than the Astros do. So we'll have to see how it all levels out. But I'm so glad that we're doing this playoffs. I'm glad. I actually like this new format. I think it's actually pretty cool to have all these different teams involved. It keeps more teams involved, like around the trade deadline, because you don't have as many sellers. And during regular season, I don't know if this is going to carry on past the season, but the Padres just went up 11-8. And so.
Good Lord. Well, see, here's the thing. I'll just kind of throw this out there, and I know we're trying to wrap the show up, but I'll agree with you partially. During a full-length season, though, I don't know that I want to see two below 500 teams playoffs. That's what I'm saying.
Just because it's a 60-game season. And
true. That's true.
During a 162-game season, the cream always rises to the top. And that's normally how it's going to work. And how many teams have we seen in the past few years not make the playoffs, but they had a pretty good team? And that's the case. So this is just like Zach Greinke said, everybody makes the playoffs this year, but not everybody can win in playoffs. And the Astros, like I've been saying for the past couple of days, I think that they were not built for the offseason, I mean the regular season. They're built for the postseason. And speaking of which, unfortunately, Justin Verlander did have his Tommy John surgery today recently, and he's going to be out basically 12 to 14 months. That means that he's basically going to be out for the rest of his Astros tenure, at least what he signed up for right now. So while this is a big blow, you always knew that this would be kind of a risk with him. He was always kind of injury prone, but I don't regret trading for him. He brought the World Series to Houston. I don't regret re-signing him or extending him. I mean, look at what the Red Sox did. Chris Sale was one of the best pitchers in baseball, and they took a chance, and yes, it flopped on them, and the Red Sox are not a great team right now because he had to have Tommy John surgery, but I think Justin Verlander is I think that with everything that's happened, I think he's going to be like, you know what? I feel like I owe it to Houston. I owe it to the fans to maybe come back and maybe pitch for one, maybe two more seasons with the Houston Astros. Where else is he going to go? He doesn't want
to. A couple of my students in one of my pre-AP classes was actually asking me about that when we were talking. It was like right after lunch. We have this like little advisory time where there's no class. And so we're talking baseball and they asked me, hey, you know, what do you think? And I said, well, I think he goes one of two places. He stays in Houston or he goes to Detroit. But the only way he goes to Detroit is if by the time. Yeah. Well, no. I know they're not a good team. But in 2 years, they may be a good team. They may be a contender. They have, well, this second, not next season, but I think the season after that, if they look like a contender, if they look like they can compete, Justin Verlander may go there for 2 or 3 years because he wants to pitch as long as he can. I'm just saying that's the only other team I see him going to, and they have to be on the up and up. I mean, dude, their draft picks, their young stars, that Casey Mize kid, they've got a bright future with some of those guys. I mean, they've got other moves. They've got the payroll room to be able to get people in. So that's the only other team I see him going to. I see him staying in Houston, or going back to Detroit. I don't know why he would go anywhere else. I don't think he would fit anywhere else. He's not going to go to New York. He's not going to go to LA. You know, so
here's I mean, here's something to make you throw up. What if he goes to the Rangers? Oh, the only other Eric, team I think that he would go to is the Cubs.
Eric, if because... I could body slam you right now, I would. The Rangers, he's not Nolan Ryan, dude. Come on. I mean, oh, God, that made me sick to my stomach. I need a Pepto-Bismol right now.
But he did consider going to the Cubs, but I think the Cubs are going to be on decline. We saw that. Yes, they did make the playoffs. And we unfortunately, that game was postponed today, so we couldn't see the Marlins embarrass the Cubs to sweep that series.
Oh, that's right, because of the weather, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like COVID-related. I saw it was postponed. I was like, oh, crap, someone got COVID. The Marlins, you know, the Marlins like to go out and party and get COVID, apparently.
I thought that was the Indians.
Was it the Indians that got them? No, the
Marlins had the breakout, but it was Zach Plesac and the Sunshine Kid. What's his name? Mike Clevenger.
He's not the Sunshine Kid.
Isn't that his name on Twitter? Sunshine.
Yes, but I think of Sunshine Kids like Craig Biggio's foundation. That's okay. What I thought when you said that. He's a Sunshine Kid.
He's a sunshine man.
There you go. He's a flower child is what he is. He's a flake. I mean, he's got crazy talent, but he is, yeah. Anyways, he's like a whole other story.
Yeah, whatever happens, Justin Verlander, he has meant so much to Houston Astros. And I know that when he retires, it's probably going to be with the Tigers. But I think he's done more with the Astros than he did with the Tigers. But that's something that they'll have to worry about. He said he wants to continue pitching. We'll see how he recovers, because he is what I say a few weeks ago, he was like one of 10 people in the history of this age to have the Tommy John surgery. So this is something that he's going to have to really recover from, and we'll see what happens. But I know the Astros will be willing to have him back, and I know that he'll probably feel the urge to come back, and because you know he did not want to do this. And I think that the whole delay was him wanting to try to tough it out. But and I know that James Click said that this was a new injury, not a former injury, so we'll have to just take his word for it. But I'm so excited for Sunday's show. We'll probably be looking at Monday's game, and we'll talk about whether it's a prime time or the daytime like the Astros normally get, and we'll have to look at the matchups and everything, and we'll have to see who starts game one, because I think that a lot of people are like, or should you really start Zach Greinke? We'll definitely talk about that on Sunday, and we'll talk about so much more. And thank you for listening all week and all postseason long to the Locked On Astros podcast. And Brett, as always, you're awesome, and we will talk to you later.
You too, brother.